the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to be speaking about the Lord preserves his people. We're going to be looking into various scriptures that show us how God keeps us and holds us even during difficult times in our lives. Remember, you can reach us at our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You can visit us on our Facebook page, as well as looking for us on iTunes, where you can download all our past podcasts directly to your phone, your tablet, or computer. And before Brother Lewis leads us with prayer, I just want to give a quick announcement with regards to recent events that have come to light. I don't know if you've seen in the news regarding this company, Planned Parenthood, which is a company that receives finances from the government, and they perform abortions. And lately there was these two videos that came out with two high officials negotiating prices for human baby parts. And that was very important as we as Christians, first of all, get into our prayer closets and seek for the Lord to execute his justice. And after we go and we seek him in prayer, that we also reach out to our public officials for them to do a public investigation of these atrocities. The scripture says in Isaiah 59:4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Let us not be caught with those that do not speak, that do not plead for justice, that do not call for truth, but let us be, let us stand up and be the light. Yes. We know that there's already a lot of atrocities going on here in the United States. But let us as Christians start standing up finally for the word of God and let the church of God be known to this nation. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we thank you, Lord, for the ability to be here once again. And Father, we pray for your people, Father, the people that you have assigned to receive this message tonight, Lord. And we pray that they may understand that it doesn't matter what situations they're facing. You are always with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Have you ever been afraid of something bad happening to you or your family? I know the feeling. A few years ago, when the stock market crashed, it set off a great recession in this country that devastated many lives. People lost their homes, jobs, and even, for some, their savings. I will never forget it. My wife, who managed several branches which provided funds for the builders of homes, came home one day and said she was laid off. This was right after of the purchase of our second home. This was something that I was not ready for. It triggered a chain of events that took away almost everything that I had, including all my savings. If that wasn't enough, the job that I was working for at that time started to downsize, and people were getting laid off. I remember one day that one of the big bosses came in and started to call people in one by one. Before my name was called, I said to the Lord, "Remember your promises to me." I can remember from that point on, I had a sense of peace. I knew that God had it all under control, and I was asked to stay at my job. Psalms 121, 7. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. Even though God allowed me to keep my job, our troubles were not over. With all the bills we had, paying two homes, and putting a child through college, I saw everything I had disappear. Have you ever felt alone? Where everyone you thought would be there to support and help you were absent from your life? It's like being marooned on an island somewhere far away. This is the type of feeling you get when you hit rock bottom. I was stripped of everything, and I felt alone and confused. At that point, the things that many of us value the most were not important to me anymore. But through it all, I had a sense of peace. To make matters worse, during this time, I received a phone call from the IRS stating that we owed $5,000 in taxes. Can you imagine? You are dealing with all these problems and suddenly something else is added. My wife was doing calculations to see what bills we could pay. As I entered the room, she looked at me and said, "Louis, what do we do now?" My reply to her was, "Do we trust in God when we are in good and not in bad?" I started to walk into my room when I glanced at the checkbook and saw there was only $300 in the account. Then I looked on my bed and I found my Bible open. But the strangest thing is I did not leave it there. It was open to the book of Malachi 3:10. This was on a Friday. Malachi 3:10. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." This was something that I was used to because I believe in tithing. However, with $300 in the bank and all the bills accumulating, I hesitated since that was all the money we had for transportation to work and food for the month. I remember that Sunday, I walked into the church and the pastor was teaching on tithing. My wife looked at me and said, "What do we do?" I said, "Give God what is God's." Later that week, I remember going to a restaurant to have a sandwich with my wife. Just as we ordered the food, we received a call from a friend of ours that was in prayer. And he said, "God just spoke to me about you guys, and I need to meet with you to deliver the message." We ate and rushed home. Our friend walked in and said, "God told me to tell you that you passed the tests. From that day on, everything turned around, little by little. Friends, I don't know how to explain it other than God had not forgotten me. He was looking out for me and had seen me through this troubled storm in my life, and He still does today. I don't know what you have been facing personally, but I can say with all confidence to stay strong and trust in the Lord. Even when things look impossible, He is faithful. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Proverbs 30:5. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him.
Amen. One of the most important roles of a shepherd is to preserve his flock, to lead them to and fro grazing lands through many perils, be it through wild beasts, thieves, or conditions of an unforgiving environment such as the dry deserts of the east. And through it all, his sheep confidently follow their shepherd. And this is in fact what our Lord Jesus did when He walked the earth, and continues to do today for His people. We see that before Jesus went to the cross, He prays to the Father, and He says in John 17:11, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those who Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me, I kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." One of the important things for us to understand is that Jesus is not like us. He always fulfills His tasks. He tells the Father of those that the Father entrusted into His care that He lost none. And this is very comforting to know that Jesus never abandons His sheep. And if you are His, you can be assured that He will preserve you. He will preserve us through all our circumstances. Jesus says in John 10:27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." It is not only the hand of Jesus that preserves His sheep, but Jesus also tells us that we are in the Father's hand as well. And it is comforting to know that if my grip on the Lord begins to slip, my life is firmly held by the hand of the Father and the Son, and sealed with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, the Bible shows us that as the coming of the Lord approaches, the persecution and hate against Christians will increase. And it's very important for us to meditate on these wonderful promises of God, so that when we begin to feel the heat of the burning furnace, our minds will not be filled with anxious thoughts that God has abandoned us. It's no coincidence that Paul in Ephesians 6 tells us to wear salvation as a helmet. Because if we do not fasten our minds with God's deliverance, if we do not fill our minds with hope, we lose the battle. We will lose the battle in our minds. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Proverbs 18:14 says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but the wounded spirit who can bear?" We see that if we are not strong in our minds in believing the word of God, so we will fail to do what we are called to do. That's why the enemy, usually the first thing he does is to try to incapacitate our thoughts, to come at us with and bring oppression on our minds so that we can fall away. That's why we need to wear God's salvation, God's deliverance as a helmet. It's very important for us to be filled with the Word of God, because the Word of God fills us with hope. Our hope cannot be tied to any other thing other than Jesus Christ Himself. And Paul tells us what should be the criteria of the type of thoughts that we should allow to abound in our minds. He says in Philippians 4:8, says, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." We should strive to maintain our minds pure, especially when we live in a world that is constantly bombarding us with images of wickedness. We need to protect our minds by keeping them on things that build up rather than destroy. And if God, through His Word, upholds the universe, then surely, if His Word is in us, He shall preserve us by it. But the problem is that today we have many secular Christians, which, by the way, is an oxymoron. We have people that claim to be Christians, yet they don't believe the Word of God. We have pastors that don't believe in the virgin birth, that don't believe Jesus is God, that don't believe in the Trinity, that don't believe that Jesus physically rose from the grave. And if these are the men that are leading many of the churches in America, what can be said of those sitting in their churches? Many of this skepticism, unfortunately, is coming out from the seminaries all over the country. But Paul tells us something important about the Scriptures. In Romans 15:4, he says, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Paul tells us that through the Scriptures, we have hope. But what hope can we have if we don't believe the Word of God? You see, the Word of God was given to us so that we may be preserved by following His commands. Recently, we've been seeing many so-called Christian musicians coming out stating that they don't believe the Bible, and all different either English and Spanish musicians. And something that's very important, brothers and sisters, is that we should not be giving money to people that they consider themselves Christians but don't believe the Bible. Why? Because the Bible is the testimony of God's deliverance. It is a testimony. It shows, it gives us insight into the character of God. When the Lord judged the world and brought a global flood, He preserved Noah and his family in the ark. And those that mocked and did not believe were caught by surprise when the fountains of the deep were opened. In Genesis 7:11, the scripture says, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened." And one of the interesting things when we see in the flood is that it wasn't just rain. Water came from beneath the earth. And interestingly, the Hebrew word translated deep, it means abyss. The fountains of the abyss were broken up and filled the earth with water. But just like Noah and his family were preserved in the ark, so will God's people be preserved as the gates of hell begin to flood the world with evil. Those that are in the ark are in the covenant, the everlasting covenant sealed with the blood of Jesus. They are safe in Jesus Christ. When the wrath of God fell upon Egypt, we see that God still preserved His people. Look at what the Lord tells to Moses when He's going to bring a darkness in Exodus 10:21. He says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." You see that the Lord brought upon Egypt a darkness that was so dark that it could be felt. And I cannot imagine how dark that may have been. But I know that today, especially here in the U.S., there is a spiritual darkness. There is an evil that every person can feel. We're seeing that Satan is openly worshipped in this nation. Anything abominable is praised and written into law, and good is severely punished. Just recently, a school in Mississippi was fined $7,500 because a pastor prayed in one of their assemblies. Yet schools all over the U.S. are promoting yoga, which is Hinduism and New Age religion, and force the acceptance of homosexuality as normal. There is a spiritual darkness that has engulfed the U.S. But the Bible says, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. There may not be light in the world. Our cities, our towns and neighborhoods may be flooded with darkness, but yet as long as we continue to trust in the Lord, His light will shine upon us. His light will shine forth the way. The light of His word will light up our lives. Jesus, the light of the world, is dwelling among His people. And just like He led His people with a pillar of fire in the wilderness, in the darkness, He will also lead us through the darkness that we are facing today. That's why it's so important that we read and learn the Word of God, because it teaches us of the character of God. It teaches Him how He delivers His people. David says of the Lord in Psalm 32:7, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. When the Lord sends the angel of death, He commands Israel to place the blood of the Lamb upon the doors. Exodus 12:23, For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when He seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. We see that when the blood was placed upon the doors, it was God that was stopping the angel of death from coming inside the house where the blood was placed. And likewise, the life of a Christian who has placed his trust upon Christ, who has put out the leaven of his life, and we know that leaven is a type of sin, we cannot be touched by death. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to cleanse us of all sin, and it pleads for us. It pleads innocence for those on whom it covers. And it doesn't mean we won't suffer in this world. We have to understand and see death from the perspective of which God sees it. See, a believer that dies in Christ, in the eyes of God, is not dead, because his life is in Christ. And so long as Christ is alive, those that have died in Christ are also alive. And since He will never die again, they will always have eternal life in Him. But that doesn't mean that we will not experience persecution and possibly even death. Jesus said to His disciples in Luke 21:18 that not one hair of their heads would perish. Yet all of the apostles died a martyr's death, with the exception of the apostle John. But again, it shows us God's perspective of death. Those that die in Christ also partake of His resurrection. And though they may kill our bodies, they cannot take our souls. Though they may take our material goods, they cannot rob us of our heavenly treasure. Though they may take our Bibles, they cannot rob us of our hope. And according to 1 Timothy 1:1, Jesus Christ is that hope, and He preserves His people. When we look at the Hebrew, we see there's about three different words that represent that are translated preserve in the King James Bible. And one of them means to guard, to protect. And we have another one, I believe is the word shamar, and it means to protect against contamination, to protect the purity of. And that's something very important, is every day When we spend time with the Lord, we should be asking Him to preserve us, to not allow us to become contaminated with this world. Whenever we eat preserved foods like jelly, we see that the reason they're called preserves is because they're contained in a way that it doesn't allow for it to become corrupted, for them to stay in a state. Like when you get canned goods, they could stay in there without spoiling for a very, very long time. And that's something very important. We see that the world around us every day is becoming more and more rotten. We see decay all around us. But as long as we are abiding in Christ, we are connected to the vine, then that Holy Spirit, the sap, the life that flows through the vine will also flow through us and will preserve us, will keep us alive, will keep us from becoming tainted with the things of this world. We often just think about preservation as just keeping us from trouble, keeping us from experiencing pain. But He also keeps us from falling into sin. In fact, sometimes we experience hardships, not because God is punishing us, but because God may be protecting us. That's why it's very important for us to understand that God is sovereign over the life of a Christian. You know, sometimes we get upset when we encounter minor setbacks, delays in our lives. We're running late to get to work because all different types of circumstances are happening. But we don't know that God may be putting events into place to protect us from something that could have caught us in the way. And that's why Paul tells us for us to live lives continually giving thanks to the Lord. Because though we do not understand, we trust that He has our best interest. If He gave His only Son, being innocent, to die in the cross, to be publicly humiliated, to be wounded, to be spit on, to be cut open and allowed His blood to flow out of His body, how much will He not keep us and protect us from the dangers that we face in this world? Let us trust Him daily. Let us believe His word. Let us get into His word so that whenever we face these circumstances, we'll understand what God, we won't know how or He'll bring the solution, but we believe that He will and that He can. And if you don't know Him, that relationship can begin today. And that's exactly what God wants. He wants a relationship. He wants to come and abide in you. He wants to put His Spirit in you. That's how close God comes to His children, that He makes a home inside of them. And if you don't know Him, you can cry out to Him today. You can say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sins. And He died, He was buried, and He resurrected on the third day. And I believe it. And I ask you today to save my soul, to put your Spirit in me, to give me a new life. And that I, from this day forward, I may begin walking with you, that you may preserve me from death and hell.
Amen. I would like to read a scripture to you. It's in Psalms 31, 23. And it says, love the Lord, all His faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to Him, but the proud He pays back in full. There's a prerequisite here, and it's faithful. In the Webster's Dictionary, it says to be steadfast in affections or alliance. In other words, being loyal. And this is something that a lot of people have lost today. They want to be half in the world and half with God. And then when something goes wrong, and they don't see anything being resolved, they want to blame God. Where were you? Why weren't you there for me? Well, how can He be there for you if you're not really with Him? So in order for us to receive these promises and these blessings and these protections from God, We have to be with him wholeheartedly. We have to give our lives to him so he could be our father. And he could lead us and direct us and protect us.
In the sight of my foes, you prepare a table for me. In the presence of my enemies, you make my cup overflow. All I know is in your love. All I know is in your love. All I trust is in your love. In your love. I find you in you, I dwell safely. Oh, like David, I'll run. In you, I trust. Secret place I.
Father God, we come before you in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, and we come before you, Father, asking you, Lord, for you, Lord, to fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Father, for your Holy Spirit to be poured out upon your people, Lord, and that we may stand up, Father, and start being the light and the salt of the earth as you have called us to be, Father. Lord, that the world may marvel, Father, even with all the decay that is going around, with all the destruction that is happening, that your people will remain steadfast. Father, that you would reveal, Lord, who are your faithful remnant, Father, and that you may allow us to stand together, Father, in this hour of darkness. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you be exposing, Father, the evil, Lord God, and that it may be seen for what it is, Lord, and that you may exercise justice, Father, on these evil organizations, Father, that are committing murder, Father, and that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, that you, with your might and spirit, Father, may bring them down as you destroyed the Tower of Babel, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will empower your people tonight to remove all fear from us, Lord, that we may not have fear of losing anything, Lord, but that, Father, that you give us the fear of the Lord, Father, that we may stand firm, Lord, in the face of any circumstance, in the face of persecution, even in the face of death, Father, and proclaim your glorious gospel, Father, even if our lives are taken for it, for the glory of your name. Glorify yourself in us now, Father. Fill us up completely with your spirit, that we will not back down, but rise up boldly, Lord, for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. There's a scripture in Psalm, I believe it's Psalms 121:7, and it says, "The Lord will protect you from all harm." And some people are wondering whether the Lord could protect them from somebody that's going to rob them. And here the scripture is specific. It says it will protect you from all harm. So we don't need to be worried about anything. When we are with the Lord, we have angels around us that are going to fight for us. And it also has a second part to it. And it says, he will protect your life. You know, there's a lot of people, Pastor Javer, that are concerned about, you know, their life, about, you know, dying. And here it says that he will protect your life. And what this means is that he will give us, you know, the life that he wants us to have here on earth. He will protect us so we could have a long life. In the same way that he did with with Moses and, you know, with Aaron and all the other people who followed him, he protected them from all the enemies. And he gave them even in these battles, you know, he allowed them to live and conquer. So when we come to the Lord, there are many benefits that we receive from him. Protection from sickness, from plagues, from disasters. Because he says in the last days, he's going to come for us. So this is comfort to us to know that we have a Savior that's going to come for us and rescue us. So for those of you that haven't encountered Christ, and perhaps you're going through times of difficulty right now, I challenge you to put all that aside and focus on Jesus. And I guarantee you that he will get you through.
You know, Brother Lewis, one of the important things about preservation is that if we as Christians desire to be preserved in these last days, it's very important, and it's always been important, for us to walk in righteousness. Because you see, I can be a person and I can be saying, I can be trusting in God to protect me. But if I'm going out and I'm committing fornication or adultery, I'm opening up myself not only to demonic possession, but to disease. And to say, oh, well, God's going to protect me and I'm out living in sin, I'm living out recklessly, is completely against the word of God. In fact, the psalmist says in Psalm 25:21, he says, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." And that word integrity in the Hebrew word means completeness. And that's something important about the Christian, is that we cannot have a portion of us be given to God and give another area to the world. Our lives are to be completely consecrated to God. If there's an area that it's open to sin, it may be it's an entrance that we're giving the enemy to come and use that against us in our lives. And the next word is uprightness. And that word uprightness means to walk straight, to walk in the straight path. And that's why it's important for us to meditate on the word of God, because the Bible teaches us that we are not to rely upon our heart to lead us, but upon his word, upon his spirit. Even though things may seem right, we have to follow what the word of God says, because the word of God is really what tells us the difference between what right and wrong is. Ever since the fall of man, Man has become faulty. Man doesn't have the ability to judge rightly. Therefore, we must stand upon the word of God. And he says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. So if we're walking in holiness, we look at the life of Daniel. God preserved Daniel in Babylon. But we see that Daniel, in the first chapter of the book of Daniel, he made a commitment in his heart that he would abstain from the king's wine, that he will abstain from the meats of the king. And more than likely, that must have been something that was probably high-end foods, maybe, very fancy food, especially if it was coming from a king. But Daniel made a decision in his heart that he was going to stay away from that. And because he maintained himself pure from the Lord honored him and protected him through those circumstances. He protected his friends when they were thrown into the oven. We see that they decided not to bow down at the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And because of their faithfulness, they were falsely accused. And because of their faithfulness, they were thrown into the burning oven. But we see that Jesus was inside with them. But what would have happened if they would have bowed down to that image? What would have happened if Daniel would have gave in when there was a law that was passed and no one can pray? And he would have said, okay, well, I'm not going to pray. Going to follow along the world. But we see that he stood up against the decrees that were made in that day, and he decided that he was going to put the Lord first. And because he went and he sought the Lord, he was thrown into the lion's den. But we see in the scriptures that it was God that shut the mouth of the lions. But how is God going to shut the mouth of a lion to a generation that is not walking in righteousness? How can we expect him to deliver us when we are being unfaithful to him? And perhaps that's the reason why much of the church has lost its influence here in this nation, is because we've gone along with the world and done everything that they have. Instead of going and preserving the churches in the Word of God, we've seen much of the world enter into the churches. But we must be faithful to God if we desire for Him to preserve us.
And I just want to add one more thing quickly there, Pastor. How are we going to deal with the fact in the end times when the mark will come, when they're going to say, well, you can't buy or sell anything? So, I mean, a lot of people that are not truly committed to God are just going to give in and say, well, give me the mark. I want to eat. I want to save my family. So there's going to be a time that we have to make a decision and stand for God. And are you willing to do that? Are you willing to sacrifice everything and take what needs to be taken in order for Christ to save your life and your family's life?
Amen. And the problem with so many Christians not believing the word is that when those times come, when they start placing the mark, people are going to start saying, well, you know, the Bible doesn't really mean that literally. It's only a spiritual thing. And people are going to go along with it. And that's what the dangers are of not taking God's word seriously and believing that God means what he says and says what he means. We thank you for listening tonight. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. But we invite you to visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You can write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. Remember, you can find us on Facebook as well as on iTunes. May the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
whisper a song over me. I'm slow to answer, slow to speak. I found a safe place. How wide is your love? How high, how deep? It's untouched, and I'm not enough. I found a safe place in you. I found a safe place in you. Remember the day you called my name? I was a stranger, but you loved me the same. I found a safe place. How high is your love? How high, how deep? It's untouched, and I'm not enough. I found a safe place in you. I found a safe place in you. I found a safe place.